यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णु पाद राजकाचार्य स्त्रोत्र श्री चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय स्वामी विजय संस्थापक आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्री ठाकुर महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की नंदन कोटि वैष्णव भक्त वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम महापुराण की
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे
हरे कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 20 एंटाइटल्ड प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस टेक्स्ट नंबर 17 प्लीज रिपीट
हृदेयमाद्यं सुलभं सुदुर्लभम् प्लवं सुकल्पं गुरुकर्णधारम् मायानुकूलेन नभस्वतीरितम् पुमान् भवाब्धिं न तरेत् स आत्मः हृदेयमाद्यं सुलभं सुदुर्लभम् प्लवं सुकल्पं गुरुकर्णधारम् मायानुकूलेन नभस्वतीरितम् पुमान् भवाब्धिं न तरेत् स आत्मः हृदेयमाद्यं सुलभं सुदुर्लभम् लवं सुकल्पं गुरुकर्णधारम् मायानुकूलेन न बस्वतेरितम् पुमान् भवाब्धिं न तरेत् स आत्मः
Source of all favorable results, sulabham, effortlessly obtaining, sudurlabham, although impossible to obtain even with great endeavor, lavam, abhut, sukalpam, extremely well suited for its purpose, guru, having the spiritual master, Karanadharam, as the captain of the boat, Maya, by me, Anukulena, with favorable, Nabasvata, winds, Iritam, impelled, Uman, a person, Bhava, of material existence, Abdimin, the ocean, Na, does not. Tare, cross over. Saha, he. Atmaha, the killer of his own soul. Translation and output by the disciples of the Divine Grace, Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The human body, which can award all benefits in life, is automatically obtained by the laws of nature. Although it is a very rare achievement, this human body can be compared to a perfectly constructed boat having the spiritual master as the captain and the instructions of the personality of Godhead as favorable winds impelling it on its course. Considering all these advantages, a human being who does not utilize his human life to cross the ocean of material existence must be considered the killer of his own soul. Purport. The human body, which is obtained after passing through many inferior forms, is created in such a way that it can award the highest perfection of life. A human being is supposed to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the bona fide spiritual master as the appropriate guide for such service. The causeless mercy of Lord Krishna is compared to favorable winds that help the boat of the body to ply smoothly on the course back home, back to Godhead. Lord Krishna gives his personal instructions in Vedic literature, speaks to the bona fide spiritual master, and encourages, warns and protects his sincere devotee from within the devotee's heart. Such merciful guidance of the Lord moves a sincere soul quickly on the path back to Godhead. But one who cannot understand that the human body is a suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material existence will see no need to accept a captain in the form of a spiritual master and will not at all appreciate the favorable wind of the Lord's mercy. He has no chance of achieving the goal of human life. Acting against his own self-interest, he gradually becomes the killer of his own soul.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Etrupatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyam Nivaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadeshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya evacha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So this is one of the most beautiful verses in the Bhagavatam, often quoted. Mridaya Madhyam Sulabham Sundaram. And today I was thinking one particular sentence in the Bhagavatam we would like to discuss more, where how the Gopi Paramadana Prabhu and Gopinanda Maharaj are writing based on Acharya's commentaries, that Lord Krishna gives his personal instructions in Vedic literature, speaks through the bona fide spiritual master, and encourages, warns, and protects his sincere devotee from within the devotee's heart. So we will take this theme of how the Lord guides us from within our heart if we are sincere. And especially for those souls who have got a human form of life, it's very important that we seek this connection with the Lord, our personal relationship with Krishna, based on His guidance from within our heart. Of course, this does not mean that we don't hear scriptures. It's assumed that we are reading scriptures, we are associating with devotees. This goes without saying. So if somebody has a lifestyle centered on association of devotees, hearing scriptures, then how important it is to trust ourselves, to trust the Lord within our heart. This verse is very important because here the importance of human life is emphasized. Human life is the most special of all the 8.4 million species. Why? What is the speciality of human form of life? Consciousness can be at different levels. And according to Vedic literatures, the lowest level of consciousness is avrita consciousness, where consciousness is avrita, covered. Life is there, but it's covered. Consciousness is covered. Like plants, trees, avrita consciousness. They cannot perceive. Srila Prabhupada writes in on the way to Krishna, that book, first chapter, he writes about how, if you could ask a tree, how are you? Are you fine facing so much rain, so much harsh winter, so much harsh summer? The tree would say, yes, I have no problem. Then Prabhupada says, if you tell that to a human being, to stand like that, will he be able to stand? No. Because his consciousness is more developed. Plants and trees, their consciousness is covered. Avruta consciousness. Now higher than that is Sankuchita consciousness, or constricted or restricted consciousness, which is little more than Avruta. More than plants and animals is the, sorry, plants and trees is the animals and birds. Their consciousness is little more evolved than the trees and plants, but it is still restricted. And higher than that is Mukulita consciousness, budding. If you see a flower, you know, which is in a bud stage, it has the potential to develop, but it is there. It is definitely higher than plants and animals, but, and it is in the, it's like a junction, it's in the middle, and it could really beautifully blossom. And then there is Vikasita and Purna Vikasita, advanced consciousness and more advanced consciousness, which is when a human being taps his consciousness more and more, connects to his own self, connects to the Lord within his heart and takes guidance, and then his consciousness fully evolves and he unites with Krishna qualitatively. Quantitatively is always small. But basically that is how the soul evolves. And the key factor is the human form of life, because in human form of life there is Mukulita consciousness. There is the potential to expand. And those who tap this, those who connect to themselves, those who hear the voice of Paramatma within their heart, those who explore this journey, they are the ones who can actually advance. Otherwise, Mahabharata says, Ahara nidra bayamaitu namcha samanyametat pashubhir naranam dharmo hitesham adiko vishesho dharme nahina pashubhir samanam. Ahara, eating, sleeping, sex life and defending. Same what animals are doing and we are doing. If we also restrict our life only to these four, then we are simply well-dressed, polished, two-legged, sophisticated, educated animals. So, dharmo hi tesham. What is the speciality of humans? It is dharma. What is dharma? Religion? Hindu? No. Dharma means what? Dharma is derived from the Sanskrit root. Dhatu is dhru dhatu. Dhru means balance, that which holds. Dhru means dharti, we say, no, dharti ma. That which holds. So this entire universe, cosmos, is governed by certain laws, certain principles which holds this universe, life here as sacred, it holds it. Dhru dhatu. So when we lead our lives in congruence with these universal laws, when we align our lives in such a way that we are in harmony with these laws, then that is dharma. So if a mother is taking care of her child, she is following dharma. If a student is studying for his exams, he is following dharma. If a man is taking care of his elderly parents, that is dharma. Because he is ensuring that these laws, cosmic universal principles, are in order. So human form of life is when we can practice dharma. And the more evolved beings, Sukadeva Goswami reveals in the Bhagavatam, what they do is they connect to the Lord. In fact, Bhagavatam, you will find many verses echoing the same mood which Krishna is telling Uddhav here about Atmaha. How can you kill your own soul? Which is very rhetorical in the sense, killer of the soul, soul can never die. You can't ask a question, how can Krishna say this? Here it is rhetorical, means he's saying how he is killing the propensity of the soul to go back to Krishna, to evolve. That is what it means here. If we find Maitreya Rishi telling Vidura, Ko nama loke purushartha saravit pura kata nam bhagavat kata sudham apiya karnanjali bir bavapaham aho virajyeta vinanaretaram. It's a very beautiful verse. Maitreya Rishi is saying, Ko nama loke purushartha saravit. Who is that human being who understands the essence of life? Who will engage in hearing gossip? mundane news. If he is really understanding the essence of life, what will he do? Pura kathanam bhagavat katha sudham. He will hear about Krishna. He will hear about the Lord. And then he is saying, how will he hear about the Lord? How will he get Krishna in his life? Apiya karnanjali bir bhavapaham karnanjalir. Karna, anjali means anjali, palms when they are held like this. So his karna, his ears are like this. This is a mood of, this mood is different from this mood. Karlo dunya mutthi mein. This is grab, achieve mood. But to connect to the Lord, to evolve further in our spiritual life, we need to be not achieve, receive. Receive versus achieve. In bhakti, the whole mood is receive. Karnanjalir. So, our ears have to be like this. Receive mode. So, when we are in that mood, apiya karnanjalibir bhavapaham, that's when we attain success of human life. And then the last line, Maitreya Rishi is saying, aho, alas, look at human beings. Aho virajyeta vina naretaram. Only one who is not a human being will not do this. That means he is an animal. If we don't actually take shelter of the Lord, we will find everywhere in Bhagavatam. Shukdev Goswami yesterday, Rishabhanu Prabhu was quoting so many beautiful verses from the second canto, where Shukdev Goswami is saying, you are a fool, you are a rascal if you don't take shelter of. He is giving gali. Right in the beginning of the class, Shavid, Vara, Ustra, Kharai, Samstuta, Purusha, Pashu. You are a camel, you are a dog, you are a pig. Nayat karana pato peto jatu nama gadagraja. We should be happy when we hear that gali, because it's an advanced pure devotee chastising, and we hear it. It's purifying. And even Brahmaji, when he is instructing the devatas, a very beautiful verse. Can you imagine, Brahmaji is the most intelligent personality, and you know what he says in his instructions to the devatas in the third canto when he is describing Vaikuntha Loka? He says, human form of life on planet earth, this is the greatest life. We all want it. Brahmaji wants that life. Ye vyartitam apichano nrgatim prapanna jnanam cha tattva vishayam sahadharmam yatra naradhanam bhagavato vitarantamushya sammohita vitataya bata maya yate. He says, ye bhartitam apichano nrgatim prapanna. Human form of life is what we all want. Why? Jnanam cha tattva vishayam sahadharmam yatra. It's very likely that in human form of life we can practice dharma. We can understand. Jnanam cha tattva vishayam. We can understand the truth of spiritual subject matters. Because that understanding of truth is very nicely blended with suffering and misery. So that helps us digest and understand the scriptural knowledge. Otherwise, it's for many in the heavenly planets, it's theoretical. Because they are enjoying all the time. There's a party going on. Here, we get a lot of kicks, a lot of beatings by material nature. So there's a nice training here. Jnanam cha tattva vishayam sahadharmam yatra. And then Brahmaji is expressing shock. Naradhanam bhagavato vitarantamushya. Human form of life and still is not taking shelter of the Lord. Alas, alas. Sammohita vitataya. He is sammohita. He is bewildered. Bata maya yate. 100% convinced he is in maya. Brahmaji is saying that if you don't take shelter of Krishna, if you don't make the best use of human form of life, then we are in maya. So you can imagine, the point I am trying to make is how precious, how sacred is this human form of life. So as human beings, we can realize Krishna. We can realize God. We can experience God in our life. We can connect to Krishna. Now how exactly we all connect could be uniquely different. Some of us connect to a book called Bhakti Bhava. He says how in many churches every Sunday they gather and they say, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in God? Yes, we believe. So the Yamamrut Maharaj says, our goal is not to believe in Krishna. We don't want all of you to be believers. He said, we want all of you to be lovers of God. We want to love God. We don't want to simply keep psyching ourselves up. I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God. There is no rasa. It's all then the head process. There has to be heart. Not simply information, but transformation. So therefore, for long-standing devotees who have been in the movement for many years, one of the biggest challenges is to make Krishna a tangible reality. To experience Krishna, especially if after decades, if a devotee is haunted by doubts or distractions, strong distractions of sense gratification, and if life is disastrous, no auspiciousness in life. It's interesting. The second characteristic of pure devotional service is Shubhadha. Life should be auspicious. But only misery, only suffering, and no auspiciousness. It's time devotees ask these serious questions. How do I come closer to Krishna? How do I make an experience of Krishna a tangible reality in my life? How? How do we do that? And that happens when we connect to Krishna. See, there are different ways of answering this. I personally would, with my little experience or tiny 5 paise worth of realization, I think as a community, as a group of devotees, we need to find a middle path where we give a safe space to devotees to experience Krishna in their own unique ways. There are two extremes, I'll tell you. One extreme is materialistic life, sense gratification. We all know what is materialistic life. The other extreme is Krishna, the personality of Godhead, the supreme personality of God. Bhagavan. But if we can create a space where there is also scope for Brahman realization, there is also scope for Paramatma realization, there is a facility to experience Krishna in nature, in our duties, in our varnashram setup, that is a safe space. Generally, if you see, we fluctuate between extremes. I don't know if I've experienced this. Extreme we go. Very selfish life, then we suddenly come to Hare Krishna and we hear what? One has to be selfless. And from extreme selfishness, we go to extreme selflessness. And then after a few years, we realize, what am I doing? I have my needs. Then we go back to extreme selfishness again. For this volatile fluctuation of neurochemicals in the brain is not healthy. It can cause cognitive dissonance. So we need to create somewhere in between. See, selfishness is bad. We all agree. No, pure selflessness is impractical for many. Self-care is good. Taking care of self is good, not bad. But we need to be sensitive to others. Being sensitive to others' needs is not bad. It's actually healthy. It's very good. So can we create that space? Am I making myself clear in what I'm saying? Is it clear? A safe space, somewhere in between. Like hypocrisy, we all know what is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is bad, we all agree. And what is the other extreme of hypocrisy? Opposite side, integrity. I will live by what I said, my vows, high standards, integrity and hypocrisy. Now, somebody who's led a very hypocritical life, for him to lead a high integrity seems very difficult. But at least there is something in between, and that is called honesty. Honesty, the difference between honesty and integrity is you do what you say. Honesty is you say what you do. So, can we trust devotees? Can we encourage devotees to be honest rather than only stick to integrity? Like I know Niranjan Swami Maharaj, his initiated disciples who have kind of given up some chanting, some devotees, you know, we all, this happens. To bring them back to Krishna as a spiritual master, I read in one of his books how he allowed some of his disciples to accepted them and said, okay, it's fine, you chant 4 rounds. Or you chant 6 rounds. You may say, how can a guru do that? Prabhupada said this. Fine, wait. Understand, is teaching them honesty. From hypocrisy, integrity is not possible. Both are, hypocrisy is not wanted, integrity is not possible. Then there is honesty. So as devotees, you know, we need, like for example, another example is judgment, constantly judging others. You are bad, you are demon. From childhood, we have been hardwired to keep judging others. You accept? We all go through this. Constantly judging, criticizing, making fun. And we come to Hare Krishna, we hear, accept and love everyone. It's not possible to love everyone. It's not possible. It may be the best thing to do. So from judgment, we go to love all. And we artificially psych ourselves to love all, which is not happening, which is not possible. And we get frustrated, then we again go back to judgment. We keep going in extreme. Why not create a space where we focus on understanding others? Understanding. We may not agree with them, we may not accept them, we may not love them, but we can always understand what they are doing. From their point of view, we could see things. So understanding, honesty, being sensitive to others' needs, seeing Krishna in nature, these are all human values which are very spiritual. Or, you know, we are envious. Then we come to Hare Krishna, we say, purity, just pure love of Krishna. From envious life, total appreciation, pure appreciation of others is not happening. So at least we can be sincere. Like I know one devotee who told me, I was so touched by his gesture. He said, you know, this devotee is doing like this, like this, like this, and I'm not liking it. I think I'm envious of him. First he said, I'm not liking it, and I was wondering why he is saying I'm not liking it. And then he himself answered it. Prabhu, I think I'm envious, you know, I need help. I think I'll work on it. But I'm not liking what he is doing. So I could see immediately, he is in that space of sincerity. So this is very important. What I'm trying to talk about here is that, you know, vision is okay. I want to remember Krishna 24/7. That is a vision. Great. But in every successful corporate organization also, you will see, along with the vision, there is a mission. There is something which acknowledges your present reality, where I am now, and what I want to do now, based on my inherent, my core existence, what really defines me, who am I? I want to give an example for this, you know, like we were in Gopal's Garden High School a few years ago, their annual day celebration was going on, and it was interesting. The children did a beautiful program. It's 2.5-3 hours of such an amazing program. You know, they did devotional bhajans, and then there was cultural dance. Everything the children, all parents were there. The hall was packed. But the biggest super 8 was the last item. The last item of the program was where these children dressed as soldiers in the Indian army. They are trying to defend one particular post or something. And very musical. It was dramatic. And one of the child was Sardar. You know, they had, and then he's fighting, and then he's dying. All of them are being killed. You know, and it was so ecstatic. And finally, this boy is the last soldier. He dies, but before dying, he somehow ensures that the flag is flying high. And then, and there is a background. There's a beautiful patriotic song. And this, when this got over, everybody was crying, and we were looking at everybody in the audience, and it got a standing ovation. 5 minutes. It was a super hit. This was the best part of the program. Everyone was like cheering, clapping. And then when we were coming back, for this devotee told me, "Achha nahi, isme koi Krishna hi nahi tha kidhar." There was no Krishna in this. So I said, "Prabhu, but there was Krishna bhajan in the beginning. There was cultural, you know, dance. There was Krishna everywhere. But this is it. This was good and everybody liked it, and this is also great." "No, but this is not spiritual, Prabhu. Ours is a spiritual school. How are we different?" So I was discussing with him, and then I reflected also. For a child who is growing up, he may not be able to connect to Krishna. And we definitely don't want our children to be materialistic. But the child can connect to dedication, sacrifice, truth, honesty. So here was a principle in action. And if children can get attached to these principles, then they will naturally love Krishna also. Otherwise, what happens is, if you have nothing to hold on from this world, see, we need something of this world to hold on to go to Krishna. If this world offers nothing to us to hold on to go to Krishna, then we may get frustrated at our failure of being disconnected to Krishna. And we may slip down further. In fact, we may become worse. See, you know, when we are coming to Krishna consciousness, first day, when we are coming to bhakti, our consciousness, our morality, our ethics, our values may be at level 2. Let us say level 2. Our principles in life. Level? Which level? 2. And Krishna is at level 100. Fine? We are at level 2 and we hear that we want Krishna. Where is Krishna? 100. 100 to dikhi nahi raha. Oh, nahi dikh raha. Jump. Catch. So we catch Krishna. But Krishna is very far. And nothing in this world is there for you to go to look forward to. So you are trying. From 2 we are going to 100. I'm not getting Krishna. Frustrated. Where is Krishna? Finally, the soul wants some rasa, right? So then what happens? From 2, you keep looking up, you don't get anything. Then sometimes, some devotees, for rasa, they go to 1, 0, minus 1, minus 2. They betray their own values and then they are wondering, I would have never done this if I was not a devotee. How did I land up doing this? What happened? Because we gave him nothing. We didn't create any safe space for him to connect to Krishna. Everything was Maya. Everything is Maya here. Only Krishna is a reality. So although our aspiration, our vision is pure chanting, our vision is remembrance of Krishna, our mission, our present practices of spirituality can be more authentic, more aligned to who we are, to who I am. Like I know one girl, one family in Bahrain, they have two daughters. Such nice family. They have Gaur Nitai, they chant Hare Krishna, wonderful Krishna conscious family. And their older daughter, she is 14, she has memorized the whole book. There is a book by Rawat on called Brave. It's about the Paramvir Chakra Award winners, how they posthumously got this award. So she's memorized the story, life story of all these soldiers. And she does all these programs in her school. And she read this book at least 10-15 times. So she's Krishna conscious. She is definitely, she loves Krishna. At the same time, she is connecting to these principles. Similarly, there are devotees I know. Like I know one devotee, I won't take his name. He goes to Hanging Garden. He does parikrama of the peepal tree, the banyan tree. I've seen him offer prayers, offer flowers to the tree. Then I confronted him once. I said, bro, why do you do all this? He said, then he quoted Radha Govind Maharaj. Whenever Radha Govind Maharaj sees a banyan tree, he offers full dandavat. Whenever he's traveling and he sees a peepal tree, he stops the car, he gets down, he offers obeisances. Because he would say, Maharaj would say, that peepal tree is Vishnuvas, Bhargat ka ped, banyan tree is Shivas. So seeing Krishna in nature, this is divinity. Like when I don't know, as a children you have seen this, when we are very close to our grandparents. So children, you know, we love to be with our grandfather, grandmother, they are very elderly and we are tiny. Subtle level what happens is, you know, the soul somewhere connects to the eternal principle. Somebody is very aged, somebody is very having a long life. So we actually, the soul is eternal. Wherever the principle of eternity comes in, we get connected. Like banyan tree, there is one banyan tree here, which is the maintainer of the garden says he's 400 years old. So when you go in front of that banyan tree, you feel it's awe-inspiring. Because we are tiny and this tree has been existing for the last 400 years, seen everything. So the eternity within, that soul within that banyan tree, which is eternal, and we are also eternal, somewhere there is a connection. Deities. For the last 30 years, Radha Gopinath is getting offering every day. There have been floods, there have been bomb blasts, there have been so many ups and downs. But the Lord is standing there. So many things have happened in our lives. So when we come in front of the Lord, there is a connection because the soul wants to connect to this eternal principle. I remember every Sharad Purnima, Gaur Purnima, Isolinus Radhanaswami Maharaj would walk at the terrace of our ashram. And he would walk with one or two brahmacharis, sometimes with Gaur Gopal Prabhu, sometimes with Govind Prabhu, few devotees. And every time during Gaur Purnima, after the whole festival is over, looking at the full moon, Maharaj would tell devotees, can you see this full moon? This full moon was there when Krishna killed Kamsa. The same full moon was watching all of this. Wow. And then the same moon was there, full moon, when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Then he would start telling all the incidents, history, spiritual history, till the present moment. So when, as he's talking, I remember a few times I felt, wow, I belong to this eternal, see, I also belong to this eternal space. Immediately he would transport us to an existence, to a realm of existence, to a dimension of reality which is beyond our temporary mind and body, which is fleeting. So we see that if we can connect to divinity, to eternity, in our own, somehow or the other, yena kena prakarena mana krishna niveshayat, somehow connect to Krishna, Krishna's divinity, then we are creating a in-between space for us to experience Krishna in our lives. Because as we see, as we are spending time and we are getting older, we see that some devotees, they are discovering their unique relationship with the Lord. They are on a beautiful journey. We need to trust them. And we need to trust ourselves also. And it's very important. I went through an experience I want to share, which actually was kind of convinced me about this principle. I was in the airport and I was traveling via Middle East. So I couldn't wear my dhoti kurta, so I was in track, sweater, cap to hide my shika. And I was in the bathroom, I had to go through the immigration, it was, the security gate was very far. So I was really racing against time. I was on time, but still it was tight. And as I was desperate, one man patted me on the shoulder and I looked back. His face was filled with anxiety. And he said, can you help me? I want to be peaceful. I'm in so much stress. I'm so miserable. Tell me something. And immediately I thought, why me? I'm not even a Hare Krishna devotee. In the sense, my clothes, there are so many thousands of people in the airport. Why did he catch me? This question came to my mind. But I had no time to ask him all this, because he could have caught anyone else, right? Why me? My sweater had covered my kanti mala, nothing. You couldn't see my kanti mala also. There was no tilak. There was track, like any other, and shoes, cap. But I didn't bother to find out why he's asking me, but I was trying to understand, how can I help him now? And immediately my heart said, he needs to breathe, he needs to pause, he needs to relax and inhale. He just needs to relax. But my mind was telling me, hey, Hare Krishna, you should chant Hare Krishna, everything, all problems will be solved. So I was in dilemma. I was in, you know, my mind was in a conflict. And I knew I had only 3 to 4 minutes, very little time. And he himself said, I have to rush on my flight, you know, I'm getting late, but you tell me something. He was crying. And I was thinking that I have very little time. What should I tell him? And I could see he also is short of time. So then I realized I have two choices. Either tell him to chant Hare Krishna or tell him to teach him how to breathe normally. Inhale for 4 count, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold for 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then exhale for 8 count. Slowly. Because I felt somewhere that's what he needs. But I felt, no, he needs Hare Krishna. So as I was struggling, I thought I needed some time to buy. You know, I needed some time. So I told him, what do you do? I thought as he's answering, I will get some clarity. So he said he's a writer, Bengali novels he writes, blah, blah, blah. His books have been translated into English. So he's got an invitation from Oxford. So many stories, you know, telling about his life. And I was nodding my head, but trying to answer this question within my heart, what should I do? Before I tell you what I did, I want to ask you what I should have done. What do you think I should have done? I know some of you will say, very politically correct answer. Prabhu, both. You should do both. This is what we generally say. But I didn't have time to do both, being very honest. If I had only one thing to do, what do you think I should have done? What do you think? Huh? Any answers? Huh? Yes, Satyanand Prabhu. Are wow. Beautiful. Next time if something like this happens, I will do that. Thank you, Prabhu. I should have met you before, you know. Because I didn't do this. And I felt guilty. What I did, I'll tell you what I did now. I told him, let's go. I was in the bathroom, washroom. So I came, I brought him out. I said, okay, stand here. So he stood. Inhale, I taught him breathing. And then exhale. So for 3-4 minutes, we both did it, you know. And he was doing it slowly. And after 3-4 minutes, I realized I have to go. And then he opened his eyes and he said, wow, that was amazing. Thank you so much. And then I had to rush. So I said, okay, see you, all the best. And I went. And as I took my trolley, guilt gripped my heart, you know. You nalayak, useless fellow. You should have told him Hare Krishna. And then, I was about to turn back to see if I could tell him something. I suddenly heard a voice. Prabhuji! I said, Prabhuji, this is a typical familiar language. You know, there are some words you hear only in ISKCON. Prabhuji, Prasad, Lakshmi, you know, these kind of things. The typical ISKCON lingo we hear. So I said, Prabhuji, who is calling me here? So I turned back and it was the same man. I said, what? And he was like, Prabhuji, thank you. I said, you know me? He said, yeah, I've seen you on YouTube. I've seen some videos. Prabhu, I'm Hare Krishna devotee. My wife is initiated. I chant 16 rounds. I go to Albert Road temple. I know all of your people. But Prabhu, thank you so much. Thank you. I have to rush now. And he rushed and I also rushed. And after I cleared the custom and everything and I sat on the bench, I realized what had happened. And then I realized if I had told him at that time, just chant Hare Krishna. He was already chanting Hare Krishna. See, Krishna gave me the intelligence. I got the intelligence to say the right thing at that right time. Well, I was feeling guilty. Then I felt a little peaceful. Because chanting Hare Krishna is a need of the soul. We have a responsibility to give Hare Krishna to everyone as Prabhupada's servants. At the same time, the mind and body also has needs. And you know, I've heard this so many times in His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj's lectures and so many devotees' lectures that in love there is no peace. Love is greater than peace. Have you heard this? So we love Krishna. We want to love Krishna. So we should be ready. There will be no peace. But sometimes there is a need for peace. So there is nothing wrong if somebody can connect. Somebody can connect to the peace principle through some less than pure devotional practice. As I'm saying in the beginning of this class about a safe principle, about a middle path. So I got faith after this entire incident. I got faith in my own. I thought I could trust myself now. In the sense, I didn't feel I'm a demon or I'm wrong. You know, sometimes you need to feel worthy also. I remember once traveling with Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Long flight. It was from Istanbul. Via Istanbul we were going to Moscow. There was one Andhra Telugu lady with two toddlers. One 6 or 7 month old baby and another was 3 year old girl. And the way she was managing both of them, it was such an inspiration. She, there is no pleasure in her life. In the whole journey, she had to feed both of them at different times, then take her own food, be always conscious of what's happening. There was no maja. Others are all watching movies. We were reading, we were doing our things. But this lady had no peace. All the time she was taking care. And then when finally we reached, you know, she had some 7 huge bags. She had to collect all of that children. So then we helped her. And then finally, of course, we exchanged pleasantry when she left. And then we were talking about it, how there is such an amazing principle here. Apparently it's ordinary principle. But we could appreciate motherhood. We could appreciate what our mother has done for us. We don't even know. Because we can't see our childhood. And we don't know how much anxiety we have caused our parents. But the entire experience was life enhancing. It may not be pure remembrance of Krishna, but there was something above materialistic thoughts. There was something above mundane matter. We were connecting to principles. 13th chapter, this 20 qualities, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, you read the purport. Because Krishna there talks about Kshetra and Kshetrajna, and then he talks about how everything in this world, you know, is within the, it's part of Kshetra. But Prabhupada writes in that purport that these principles, because they help us get out of the material world, these principles are not part of the Kshetra. They are not part of matter. They are just below the personality Krishna, but they are right there. So if we can connect to principles in this material world, we are coming closer to Krishna. Often we get so intense in our bhakti that we forget these principles. In fact, unfortunately, many times our intensity, if it is not balanced with sensitivity, it could lead to insanity. It could lead us to become hard-hearted. Because we'll end up restricting Krishna to our beatbacks. We'll end up restricting Krishna to the deity form, to the temple, to initiation. But Krishna is much more than my tiny brain can comprehend. You know, in 1953, there was this film that came, this old Bollywood black and white film, 1951, called Baiju Bawra. So there was a singer, Muhammad Rafi, he's a Muslim. So the studio, they were singing a song, recording a song for the movie. The song was, Man Tadupat Hari Darshan Ko Aaj. My mind is hankering for darshan of Lord Krishna. Now the song was written by Shakil Badawani, a hardcore Muslim. And the music was composed by Naushad Ali, also a Muslim. So everyone was Muslim in that. So this song was composed. And as the studio, the recording was going on, outside the financer, the post-production team, they were there. The Bablu, he was standing there. And when he heard, everyone was enchanted by that rendition by Muhammad Rafi. So this man, the financer of this, he was hearing it also like the others. And when the song got over, he suddenly started shivering. What we have read in our scriptures about ecstatic symptoms, he started displaying those. So he started shivering and tears started coming from his eyes and he started crying and wailing. And everybody knew that he is not doing some drama baji, because he was a very sober man, respected man. It's not that he was trying to, you know, sometimes we may do that to get attention. Arre koi dekh nahi raha, chalo, let me cry. He was not doing it for attention. He just genuinely got overwhelmed with spiritual emotions. And then he fumbled and then he started crying, he fell. And then he became alright after some time. And then everybody, what they did, they didn't look at him. They looked at Muhammad Rafi. What a song you sang. Everybody appreciated him. And he hung his head down. He said, no. Shakil, he pointed to Mr. Shakil, who was the one who composed. He said, it's because of him. And immediately he didn't take credit. He said, Naushad Ali Saab, he gave the music. And Naushad said, no, singer is most important. So they were passing the buck. None of them took credit. Finally, it all boiled down to Muhammad Rafi. You are responsible for this. You are the one who did it. And then immediately he folded his palms. He said, no. This was sung in Rag, Malkaun's Rag. So he said, a Rag Malkaun's ki barkat hai. This is the blessing of Rag Malkaun's. So a lot of media people had gathered also at that time. So the media people asked Naushad, what is this? This classical music, people want fast Bollywood, fast songs. So then Naushad Ali got angry. He said, this is your Indian culture. You can't see divinity, you can't see God in music. If people don't have a taste, then we should give them taste. And we know what is this? This is Rag Malkaun's. What is Rag Malkaun's? Mala and Kaushik, they are combined to form Malkaun's. And when Lord Shiva was doing Tandam Nritya, Mother Parvati, this is all being spoken by Naushad. So he is saying that Mother Parvati wanted to pacify Lord Shiva, so she sang this raga. So this is your amanat, your wealth of your country. So he started chastising all of them. So now that's a moot point. The point I'm trying to say is, okay, now there was no Krishna here the way we know. Like, you know, you have heard of Ustad Bismillah Khan? Shainai. He grew up in Prayag. Prayag. Kashi Vishwanath Temple is there. Varanasi. He grew up in Varanasi. And he was learning as a young boy, 5-year-old boy, whole night he used to practice at Kashi Vishwanath Temple, the terrace of the temple. The courtyard of the temple. And his family was been practicing, playing there for decades, for generations. And his father and uncle had told him, you are practicing your whole night. If you see anything extraordinary, don't talk about it to anybody. Understand? But he was practicing as a young boy. And one day, Lord Vishwanath appeared in front of him in his four-handed form. He was stunned. And he was practicing and he felt a connection with the Lord. He didn't know it's a Lord. And he was mesmerized. And then after, he wanted to talk to this personality, but this personality left. So he went crazy. He ran home. He embraced his mother and he started crying. Then his father, and he told this to his father. And uncle was also there. Both his father and uncle slapped him hard after he said this. Not because they were Muslims and this is not to be spoken. They slapped him because they told him, we are told you not to speak anything if you see anything extraordinary. So this man went on to become a legend in his Shehnai playing. That even today in Mayapur, if you see every day Prabhupada Samadhi they play. If you see Japa time, they play this Shehnai. Have you heard? No. If you walk towards Prabhupada Samadhi, you will hear. So this man was attached when he was in the peak of success. One big fan told him that I will shift you to America. I will give you all the wealth. He said, no, but I have a big family. I have my wife, children, their children. I am attached to them. He said, no, I will take all of you to America. I will make a big bungalow. All of you can settle in America. Then he folded his palms and he said, no, but I cannot leave my Kashi Vishwanath temple, my Ganga. I cannot leave all of this. So here is a man. And once he was going to Kumbh Mela, you know, guess who came in the train and sat next to him? Lord Krishna. As a young boy, coward boy, he didn't know it is Lord Krishna. He sat and he started playing flute. So Bismillah Khan was mesmerized. He said, what a tune you are playing. I want to learn this. So he said, you want me to play again? Then you'll have to give me some money. So whatever money he had, he gave him. Then he played. Then he said, I want to hear it again. Because he wanted to learn that melody. So then he said, I want more money. So Bismillah Khan paid whatever he had. Finally, when he came to Kumbh Mela, there's a big concert he was supposed to perform. And thousands of people were sitting. And they were thinking he'll play, you know, some of these ragas which he is very good at. Which he plays, rag, yaman, or whatever different ragas. But he played this particular melody. And everyone was stunned. They said, what raga is this? This is not fitting in any of our dictionary. And by this time, as he was playing, tears are coming from his eyes and he realized that this was Krishna. Till that time, he had not realized. So when they asked him, what is this raga? It's not in any of our textbooks. He said, this is raga, kanaira raga. So Lord Krishna has given me this raga. So these were all personalities who have lived in our, who walked on this earth. So now, I know this is not the highest. I know they are not chanting 16 rounds. I'm not sure whether they'll go back to Godhead. But don't you see authenticity here? Don't you see an example of somebody whose Vijnanamaya Kosha is developed, evolved, they are connected? Like Pejavar Swami, just yesterday I heard, our Damodar Dulal Prabhu met Pejavar Swami. And Damodar Dulal Prabhu was telling him about all the cow products and the cow, the way to take care of. And Pejavar Swami is 90 years old now. He took sannyas when he was 8 years old. So he's been a sannyasi for 82 years. A pure life. And he is telling Damodar Dulal Prabhu. He is listening to him like a student listens to a teacher. And he is saying, you know, I am very poor in all this cow. I have very little knowledge about cow. But this year Chaturmas, I am going to read all the books on cow. So you tell me what I should study. So as I was hearing this whole incident, I said, my God, at this age, look at the authenticity. Look at the genuineness. This is Krishna. This is the principle of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. We need to appreciate it along with our practices. Along with our practices. Otherwise, at our level, it's very easy that if you don't understand that authenticity is Krishna consciousness, we may go crazy. I know one of my friends who got a death threat from another devotee, a group of devotees, saying that you don't love Prabhupada. You are deviating against Prabhupada. So you are not in India now, so stay happy where you are. The day you come to India, that will be the last day of your life. So the letter is written to him. Dear so and so Prabhu, this is the letter and then your servants. Prabhu is there, servant is there. And death threat is also there. So when I first read it, I was shocked that he was sharing with me. And then we were laughing at it because we could see that there is somewhere we got our basics wrong. Somewhere something has gone wrong. Because there is Krishna speaking a language to all of us in this world. If we can hear and learn that language, then we can connect to Krishna as a person. If you see there is a language of spirituality that is spoken. We have to keep our eyes and ears open. We have to be present, mindful. If you see a simple example in nature like monarch butterfly, this butterfly flies every year from North America to Central Mexico. 6 month travel and comes back to the same branch of the same tree from where it began the journey. And the best part of the story is when this monarch butterfly leaves the branch, on the way, this butterfly gets married, produces children, and before dying, tells the child where our home is. Our ancestral property kidhar hai, sab bata deta hai. And then this butterfly continues the journey, and after a few weeks, this butterfly gets a mate, gets married, has children, gets old, before dying tells, "Hamare purvajon ka ghar udhar hai." Then like this, 8 generations later, that butterfly comes to the same branch of the same tree. Like this, there are amazing examples in nature. What kind of communication is going on there? There is some language spoken. We need to understand that language. Because that is a language spoken by a calf. If there are 1,000 cows, the calf knows where to go. Calf knows who is her mother. So who has trained this calf? If you go to the beach, you know, sometimes I go here, Chowpatty Beach, you will see there are a lot of pigeons in one place. I've seen this all the time. This is not a miracle. What is it? All pigeons are eating grains. So maybe 200 of them. And suddenly, many times this happens, without any planning, in 1 second, all of them instantly rise. What rhythm? All of them instantly rise, and half of them go in one direction, half of them go in this direction, and then they unite, they come together, and then they fly. I try to follow my eyes, and after some time, I lose them. But so many times, they get up together, they fly, they turn, they go right. Who is communicating? Who is coordinating? How is it happening? And sometimes when I'm walking, Suddenly these pigeons rise, 200, 300 of them, and they come shooting towards my direction because they're going up. And any of them could hit me. It's so scary. First time it was very scary. I had to close my eyes and... But not once I have been hit by any pigeon so far. They are rushing at a very high speed. So what I'm trying to say is, like this, if you see, there are so many things. If you go in January, you will see, suddenly you will see exotic white colored birds. They are never there throughout the year. At one particular section of the beach. These birds are coming from Ukraine because it's very cold in Ukraine and Russia. So they migrate. They come here by late December. They come in a team. They stay here. And then they go back together. By February, March they go back. Wow. What is this communication system? What is this law in this world? What is keeping all of this going? Can't we see divinity? Can't we appreciate something here? Look at Earth planet itself. All sides covered by? What? What is Earth covered by? Ocean, water. And it's like a ball which is going at a high speed with water all around. Just imagine, take one rubber ball. Can you stick water in it? Imagine a ball with water on the side and water stuck on the side. Imagine. Water below the ball, stuck. Koi bana sakta hai aisa ball? So you can see miracles at all levels. The wonder of rain, the food, the water. This is what Krishna is teaching us in the 7th chapter of Gita, the 10th chapter of Gita. And the best part is you read Akrura's prayers. Akrura is the best example for Vandanam. For prayers. So we have Acharyas for Shravanam. Who is that? Parikshit Maharaj. Who is the Acharya for Dasyam? Hanuman. Acharya for Sakyam? Arjuna. And who is the best example for Vandanam? Akrura. And you read Akrura's prayers. The whole prayers is talking about appreciating Krishna. he says how these mountains are like this, the caves are Krishna's nostrils, the grasses are Krishna's hair, and then he compares the Krishna to Udumbura fruit. He says like Udumbura fruit has many insects coming out, so he says this entire creation is you, my dear Krishna, and we are all tiny insects within it. That is such a beautiful prayer where he is encouraging us to see Krishna in nature. And for this what we need is Anjali, that what I said, the verse. Karanaanjalir bhavapaham, the mood of receive, not achieve. Ability to see and appreciate Krishna in all aspects of our life. And if we do that, eventually it's possible that our spiritual practices will become more deeply meaningful. Otherwise, we may be stuck up at the level of rituals. Unfortunately, there's a deadly combination. On the one hand, we have we lead a life of ritualism where we are not investing emotions in the Lord. And secondly, we are also unable to appreciate life beyond our tiny self. Then we actually get far away from Krishna. So therefore, it's important that, you know, like Radhana Swami Maharaj writes in Journey Home about the voice he heard which said, go to India. Now, can you imagine, he and Gary, they meet three times at different parts of the world. What is the probability that you separate from your friend in Europe and you meet him on a rice field in Nepal a year later? It's crazy. But there is a language being spoken there. There is something that is connecting all souls. So we need to trust that voice. But unfortunately, now in modern time, they don't teach us to trust our voice. We are always trained to disbelieve. Don't trust yourself because your mind may make you crazy. It's true that mind is deadly. Therefore, we need scriptures, because scriptures is the only way we can hear the voice of conscience. If scriptures are not there, because scriptures is a voice, is a wisdom beyond our tiny heads. So when we hear somebody else's voice, that will activate our own Chaitya Guru. Therefore, it's very important. Nowadays, we have so much access to information all the time with the gadgets. We are not trained to trust our voice. Like, you know, if you are a friend and you are supposed to meet somewhere, and if you are 2 minutes late, what happened? What do? Immediately, we call. Why? Because we don't trust. I experienced this when I was in final year college. There was no mobile phone at that time, 92 I'm talking about, 26 years ago. And one of my friends was supposed to meet me at a bus stop. We planned like this. This is, just look at this incident and see if this happens today, what will happen. Here is a friend of mine. We decided, okay, tomorrow 10 o'clock in the morning we'll meet here. He said, okay. And he left. And our plan was, rough plan was, 10 o'clock we'll meet at this bus stop. Then we'll go to Rhythm House, which was very close. This is near Regal Cinema. We'll buy some cassettes. Then we had to go to Indian Merchant's Chamber, where we had to xerox some papers, some documents. Then we'll have a sandwich at the Churchgate station. Then we'll go to the college library. That was the plan, rough plan. So he said, okay. Next day morning, 10 o'clock, I had a habit. I came 10 minutes early. Now, because we didn't have mobile phones and all those things those days, so I got one novel, and I was at the bus stop reading. At 10:05, 5 minutes after 10, I saw he's not yet come. But I was busy in my reading. I said, I'll wait for another 5 minutes. So after 15 minutes, 10:15, I realized something must be wrong. So I called his house. Now nobody picked up the phone. Then I called my house, thinking that if he has called my mother. See, look at the communication system during those days. And then my mother said, no, I didn't get any phone call. So then I was waiting, what happened? Then I went back to the bus stop, continued reading my book for another 15 minutes. So 10:30, I had read sufficiently. So I was not wasting time. And then secondly, I thought at 10:30, what must have happened? I trusted my own gut feeling, my intuition. Maybe something has happened. Okay, let me do the thing that we are supposed to do. So we were supposed to buy some cassettes. Previous day, the shop was closed. I went to Rhythm House, bought those cassettes. Then I said, xeroxing I can do on my own. So I did the xeroxing. Then I thought, maybe he'll be hungry. So I packed 2 sandwiches for him. I went to the library, thinking he may come there. That's what exactly happened. What had happened was, his mother slipped in the bathroom and she hurt her leg. He had to take her to the hospital immediately. So he rushed her to the clinic. Then she was all right. Then he called up my mother at home, but the phone was engaged, so he couldn't communicate. All those small glitches. And then finally everything got over. He realized he's half an hour late. He's running late. Then he calculated that I would have understood. He assumed that I would have understood that he's getting late and I would have done a few things. So he landed directly at the library and I come there with the sandwich and we meet each other. For 2 minutes we are like, oh, what happened? And then we eat our sandwiches as if nothing has happened. Without a mobile phone, without SMSs and WhatsApp and panic, we were connected. And I never recalled that incident for years. Only recently when we had a union, a meeting of all our school friends, college friends, something like that. And there we were sharing one incident. Then I remembered this incident. And I realized, wow, it was possible to communicate without a mobile phone. I'm not saying we don't need a mobile phone. Don't get me wrong. The point is, we got to the other extreme now. For everything, we need to have control. We need to... Our awareness has got buried, you know, inside. And nowadays, we have excellent systems. The algorithm is so evolved nowadays that children can get 99%, 98% in 10th. It's everybody is getting. Google gives you all information, access so much. So the children are, it's not, it doesn't really reveal that they are more evolved or more connected. It just reveals our systems have become very efficient. And it's possible. But are we truly evolving? So let us learn this art of being more connected and trusting ourselves through spiritual practices, seeing divinity in nature. And when we practice spiritual life like this, then surely we'll attract Krishna's mercy. We'll also experience Krishna tangibly and more realistically in this safe space. I would like to conclude with one quote of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, which is very, very inspiring to me. He often told his disciples, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Any questions or comments? Nobody, no? Fine. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Wait. Somebody has a question? Oh, yeah. I know that. It's a very important announcement before we take the question. Mandakini Mataji, our dear wife of His Grace Dr. Alva Prabhu, very nice Mataji, very wonderful devotee. She's been battling cancer for a long time now, for 2 years. And she's in her last stages. And she's one of the most loved devotees, would come, make garlands, never critical, always appreciating devotees. We had a great fortune of getting her association many times. She was kind to me also personally. She came to our house and allowed my mother to serve her once. So she's a wonderful soul and now she's in her last stage. And Dr. Alva Prabhu and all the devotees are... I have expressed a desire that we'll have kirtan for, we're going to do some kirtan now, right? After. So we'll do kirtan, praying for her so that she can remember Krishna at this stage. And so all devotees are requested to offer their prayers for her so that she can have a safe and smooth journey. And also, this will be an opportunity for us to express gratitude and remember her. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes, there is a question? No question. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Bhakti Vikant Academy of Culture and Education announces Shishta Ashtakam prayers, text 5 to 8.